Well, you know, most of us here have been in the church for many, many years and studying the Bible to a point where we've got the big picture pretty well in place. And then that leads us to the idea of going down to some of the more details. That's why when I gave the sermon on the sacrifice of Christ, we had the different points of that sacrifice. And there was one there wasn't time to give, and that was the one on suffering. So that kind of the way it leads, you go deeper and deeper into this here. So it led to suffering. So that asked the question in my mind, well, did Jesus have to suffer? You know, and if so, why? If so, why? Because, you know, after all, his blood, we know that, washes away our sins, correct? And his death is a substitute for our death. So what's left? Why suffer? So today, I want to look at the scriptures. At the scriptures. Not out of books, other books, the book, the Bible. Look at the scriptures to touch upon the questions of, did Jesus suffer? Did he suffer? And if so, why did he have to suffer? Right? And that leads to a corollary question. Do we as Christians, are we mandated to suffer because we are Christians? And again, if so, why? Why is it set up that we have to suffer? So these are some of the questions that I want to touch upon today. So was it prophesied that Jesus should suffer? In Luke 9:22, Jesus speaking, Luke 9:22, he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, and be killed, and be raised. Now, not only does that tell us that he must suffer, but the idea that he got the and in there, suffer and be killed, so that suffering is something separate and apart just from Jesus giving his life. Then in Acts 26:22, verses 23, the question is, did Jesus suffer? Paul, defending himself before Festus, said, therefore, having obtained help from God, and you see, all these scriptures, you see, you got to read the word sometime, and each little aspect has another new truth to it. See, having received help from God over and over, Paul didn't take credit for what he did. He looked to God. Having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both the small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said should come. Another little side point. He was a Bible thumper. He went back to the scriptures that he had when he spoke. He didn't just speak from books or philosophers. He says, he spoke which the prophets and Moses said should come. And what was that? That Jesus would suffer. That Jesus would suffer. Acts 3:18. God foretold, it says. Acts 3:18. God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that Jesus would suffer. Now, all his prophets, that gives a lot of evidence to show that Jesus was destined to suffer. Now, did Jesus in fact suffer as the scriptures prophesied? Did he in fact suffer? 1 Peter 2:21, for this you were called, because Jesus also suffered for us. And in Acts 3:18, but these things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets. Now, on the side again, what does that bring up? That brings up in Hebrews 1 when it says that God inspired the prophets, spoke to the prophets, and spoke through Jesus Christ. Little side point. But these things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets, that Christ would suffer, he has fulfilled. You see? So Jesus was prophesied to suffer, and the scriptures tell us he in fact did suffer. So why was Jesus' suffering necessary? Why was it necessary? Acts 17, verse 3. Paul speaking in the synagogue in Thessalonica. At Paul, as his custom was, went in there for three Sabbaths and reasoned with them from the scriptures. Again, a little side point. Where does Paul get his ideas from? Where does he get his substance? Again, he got them from the scriptures that were available to him, explaining and demonstrating that Jesus had to suffer. Jesus had to suffer. See, it was necessary. Luke 24, 46. Then he said to them, thus it is written. And again, those are the magic words. Those words mean we're having a discussion, and if you can cite a scripture on it that's solid and fits, it ends the controversy. See, that's what Jesus said to Satan when he was dealing with him. It is written. It is written. It ends it. No more conversation. It is written. It's truth, you see. So thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day. Now you notice there he said the Christ. That was probably because people were feeling, now wait a minute, this Jesus guy, he died, and we're waiting for the Christ to come, the Messiah, you see, who's going to change everything and knock out the Roman army, etc., etc. See, so he had to clarify the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. It was necessary, even in that capacity, to die. Or not to die only, to suffer. For the Christ to suffer and to raise the third day. So Jesus' suffering was something that was mandated in God's master plan of salvation. There it was. It was in there where it had to be. He had to suffer. Now, why? Why was it required, as the scriptures say? Why was it necessary, as the scriptures say, that Jesus suffer? In Hebrews 5:8, it says, Jesus, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Okay? He learned obedience. That was one of the reasons. You see, suffering is an educational experience. We begin to gather from these scriptures now as we read them. Suffering is an educational experience. In Luke 2:52, as it says, Jesus increased in wisdom. He had to grow. There's some things he had to learn. And one of the things he had to learn and prove was obedience. Hebrews 2:10. For it was fitting. Get this now. Fitting. That means perfectly good and proper. Perfectly good and proper. For him, that's God the Father, in bringing many sons to glory. That's God the Father. Again, on the side point, that's his job, his duty, his responsibility. Many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation. So you see, these are some things that God has delegated to Jesus. But in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He learned obedience by what he suffered, and to make him perfect through sufferings. That's what the good word says. See? And in Hebrews 2:18, see, why was it necessary? Why was it required that Jesus suffer? Hebrews 2:18, for in that he himself has suffered, that's talking about Jesus, and how? How did he suffer? For that he himself has suffered being tempted, being tempted. So we see that suffering doesn't always require being beaten to death or on the cross, but it could be down to other things as well, such as being tempted. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. You see, so Jesus had to go under suffering, and that way he is better able now to aid us who are tempted. He understands. He knows what it's like. See, so in Hebrews 4:15, why was it required and necessary for Jesus to suffer? And I read this in the positive. For we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. That's Jesus Christ in heaven, our high priest. He now sympathizes. He understands our weaknesses. Who was in all points tempted as we are without sin. See, but now, one of the things he's learning, why it was necessary, so he could sympathize. That's why it was one of the reasons why he had to suffer. So he could understand our weaknesses. Our weaknesses. Yes, the flesh is weak, but with the Holy Spirit and the power of God, we can overcome, because it says here, he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. See, this is a standard that I feel we as humans can meet. We'll slip. I'm not saying we're going to be as Jesus without sin, but we can be without sin. We can resist temptations, you see. Now, what it says here, again, being tempted, he was tempted. Okay, so simply being tempted to act contrary to God's law is not sin. What is sin is when you give in to the temptations. When you give in to the temptations, that's what sin is. So if you, by the power and the strength of God's Holy Spirit, resist it, you are sinless in regards to that particular temptation. So according to the scriptures, you see, Jesus suffered, and it led to what? It led to obedience. It led to perfection, understanding, and compassion. Compassion. So when you pray to God and say, I got this problem, and then God will turn to Jesus. Jesus will intervene for us. He understands and communicate with God about your feelings, see, and what's going on. So we not only learn from suffering, but it turns us into, the suffering turns our character. It gives us character, you see. It turns the problem of suffering into a character trait that God wants. He wants us to possess, to have in his kingdom. So that's what suffering has done here so far. So what do the scriptures tell us? That's about Jesus. Same thing applies to us. But what do the scriptures tell us about our suffering as a Christian for righteousness' sake? Not because we did something wrong, not because we robbed and stole and did this and that, you see. But when we suffer for righteousness' sake, what do the scriptures tell us about our sufferings? 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, it says, and all who desire to live godly. I'm assuming that's all of us. That's why we're here. That's why we study our Bibles. See? All who desire to live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. Now you say, well, you know, really, I don't think too much of us have really suffered persecution wrongfully, but it's out on the horizon, and it could come. The Bible talks about it. You study prophecy, you will read about it. But that's not our point here. It's the idea that if you live godly in Jesus Christ, at some point you're going to suffer persecution if you need to build a certain character trait that you haven't built. You see that? So Mark 8:34-35, talking about us as Christians suffering. See, when Jesus had the people to himself with his disciples. So here Jesus is not just talking to his disciples, he's talking to people who are just interested. What's going on here? Let's hear what this guy's got to say. Not just the disciples. So this is a message now beyond the church membership. He spoke to his disciples. He said to them, whoever desires to come after me. Yes, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to follow you. I want to live a godly life. If you desire to come after me, let him deny himself. Deny himself. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean, well, I'm just going to give up apples. I'm going to give up a drink once in a while. I'm going to give up dancing, as some churches do. No, that means deeper. That means a changing, you see, a denying of inner self, where everything is me, my. I'm everything. The sun rises for me, you see. That's the selfish center attitude that the flesh has. I always remember Kipling's little statement in one of his poems. There are a billion people around this earth spread, and you and I just wonder what those luckless millions are going to do when you and I are dead. See? Everything evolves around a carnal-minded person. So that's what it means. Deny that and have the empathy and the desire to go out and help others, especially church members, but even to some extent those in the world as well, as we do when we take up the collection, let's say, for some of these homeless women or men, people. Let him deny himself and take up his cross. Remember, we're talking about what the scriptures talk about suffering in regard to us. Let him take up his cross. And that is what it sounds like. It could mean, certainly mean suffering, but it could also mean even death. Even death. And when Paul wrote to the Romans, or you write to the Romans, there was no doubt what it was. They witnessed it. They know what the cross meant, you see. See, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But if you lose your life, that's through denying yourself or maybe even death, maybe even martyrdom, for my sake and the gospel's, will save it. That's what it talks about, our suffering. And in Matthew 10:38, and he who does not take up his cross, if you don't do it, whatever you're called to do, be it little suffering, small things, or be it great, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of me. Now, what is worthy? That's a balancing. It's a balancing. You either make the grade, you make the cut, or you're out. You're not worthy, you see. So if you don't take up your cross and follow Jesus, you're not worthy of him. That's what he says. John 15:20. John 15:20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. It's a promise. It's coming. It's out there someplace. We had some persecution back in 79. The church did nothing wrong. There was a conspiracy by what I called the constitutional black robe terrorist, you see, on the bench, okay, and others. And it just made accusations and accusations of former members, okay? That was persecution. Said you stole billions, millions, and millions of dollars. Then we said, well, if we stole millions, why don't you arrest us? Why don't you leave the church, go and arrest us, you see? That was persecution too. But there's some more in the future that's even going to be worse. John 16:33, and these things that I have spoken to you, that in me you will have peace. Jesus speaking, in me you're going to have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. That's what you're going to have. Jesus says it. You're going to have it. See, what do you mean by in him you're going to have peace? That's the knowledge. That's the knowledge that our sins are forgiven, that we have to look forward to now having the glory of God the Father in Jesus Christ, possessing that, possessing eternal life, possessing a life that's in service, reigning with Jesus Christ over the earth forever. You see? That's the contrast. We can contrast that within the world, you're going to have tribulation. On the other hand, all this glory that God promises. Acts 14:22, through much tribulation, you enter the kingdom of God. So we can't lose sight of this. There's something the scriptures keep pounding and pounding and pounding home, that it's out there. So we have to be prepared for it. Acts 14:22 tells what Paul did during his overseas travels, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. Does that mean in congregation? Does that mean in the corporate body? No, that means in faith with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's where your faith has got to be. The scripture that says, you know, let God be true, though every man a liar. You see, and I couldn't quite understand that when I first started to attend Ambassador College and read the Bible. But then later I did, as experience came. There's all kind of wrong things men may do. Because of that, you don't reject God. You remain faithful to God, faithful to Jesus Christ. Jesus, at the time, will deal with the wrongdoers. You don't have to worry about it, you see. Don't leave. Don't, you know, you just continue in the faith, as Paul said. And saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. That's the path. That's the path. So it seems that in this suffering, there are some, it has to do with the relationship that we have to do with Jesus Christ and God the Father, our suffering. There's a nexus there. Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted. Now, I like that word, granted. For to you it has been granted. That means to do a favor, to do it graciously, to do it freely. Boy, that sounds pretty good, right? To you it has been granted. Hey, here I am. I'm waiting for what I'm granted. On behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, oh, I thank you for that, that I know God the Father and Jesus Christ and I can believe in him and have all the blessings, not only, but also to suffer for his sake. That's been granted you, to do a favor, to give graciously and freely, to suffer for his sake. And what that means in part is 1 Corinthians 12:27. We are members of the spiritual body of Jesus Christ, and when we're persecuted, you see, that then is a sense in the idea that we are suffering for Jesus' sake. So you remember that? This is what Paul, remember when he was struck down? Jesus said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Paul, Jesus was in heaven. No, he was persecuting the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. The members, human physical members, like you and me here, you see. So now then, that's why we suffer. Now, why? The question is now, why do we as Christians have to suffer? We showed the scripture says we are going to suffer. Why do we as Christians have to suffer? 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory. Keep all those words in mind as you live life. Called to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. You see, God the Father has delegated that authority to Jesus Christ. God the Father does the calling through Jesus Christ. Okay. After that you have suffered. This is why. Why do we have to suffer? After you have suffered, make you perfect. Make you perfect. Establish and strengthen and settle you. So these are attributes that God is creating in us by suffering. Attributes that he wants in his kingdom. And not only in his kingdom, especially in his government, you see, in running. See, now it says perfect, but Matthew 5:48 says what? Be ye perfect. So you see how it comes about. You see how this comes about. And then in Psalm 119:67, David is saying, before I was afflicted, before I suffered, you see, I went astray. Had no fear of God, right? Didn't think about God. But when I was afflicted, now I keep your word. So why do we suffer? You see, it helps us and leads us to obedience, the character trait of obeying. You see that? And it's interesting, because what does it say there? Perfection and obedience. That was the same reason Jesus suffered. See? To be perfect and have obedience. Okay? That is why, one of the reasons, or two of the reasons why we have to suffer. So what are some of the other reasons that the scripture tells us why a Christian must suffer? Psalm 119:71, David said, it is good for me. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. See, it turns, it helps you if you have God's spirit to say, okay, I've done it wrong. I've been afflicted. See, maybe it was affliction for sin. See, but now I learn. I learn from that. I'm going to change, and I'm going to look at your statutes, what you tell me to do, and change. Okay, so why is it? Why do Christians suffer? 2 Thessalonians 1:4-5. So that we ourselves boast. Now, Paul is saying there's something now in Thessalonica church to you people. I want to say we're boasting about you. We're bragging about you. Why is he doing that? For your patience, and your faith. There's the drumbeat all the time. It goes through these scriptures. Patience, faith, endurance, perseverance. All the time those words are there. See, for your patience and your faith in all your persecutions and your tribulations that you endure. Endurance. One of the qualities that God wants to instill in us, you see. And this is clear from the righteous judgment of God. He can judge it by what he's seen. That you may be counted worthy. Remember we talked about following Jesus? He says, if you don't follow me, you're not worthy if you don't take up your cross. Here it says, you're suffering that you may be accounted worthy, that you may make that cut, that you will be accepted. You see, you will be accounted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you suffer. So if you want to enter the kingdom of God, there's suffering. See? It's part of the character building process. Hebrews 12:6-8. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Whom he loves. See, if you go astray, now if you build a character without it, then I could just see maybe the chastening doesn't come. You see, but if you drift, if you start to disobey, you see, then he may have to bring the chastening to bring you back on track. if he wants to build a certain character trait. See, he scourges every son whom he receives. What does that mean, receives? Taken into the family of God. You see, you're baptized, you have hands laid on, you receive God's Spirit, you become a child of God. Literally, a child of God. Not just some kind of, oh, that's just kind of nice talk. Oh, that's just, no. Literally, a child and a daughter, a son and a daughter of God, whom he receives. If you endure chastening, if you endure. See, some say this is too much. Forget it, God, I'm going to go elsewhere. See, I'm going to live my life according to the lust of the flesh. See, no, if you endure chastening, if you hold on, he deals with you as sons, and I add as daughters. Without chastening, you are illegitimate. And some of the Bible translators use a much less politically correct word. Okay? You are illegitimate and not sons and not daughters. You see, if you don't endure this suffering that comes upon you as a Christian, as one who's doing righteousness, you see, you're not in the family of God. You're not an heir. See, you have to be in the family to be an heir of God, to be a joint heir with your brother, Jesus Christ, a joint heir. This talks about wills and testaments. That's where they talk about heirs. Okay? So you want to endure it. See? And that doesn't mean that every hour of every day we're chastised and suffering. That doesn't mean that. It's just when we need, when we go astray, have to be brought back, or when there's a character trait of God that he requires for his kingdom, then he brings this chastisement. Hebrews 12, 10 and 11. Why do Christians suffer? It talks about the Father chastising us when we were young, or the mother. I remember the hairbrush, and you also had a belt you used to sharpen the razor on using the belt or the hairbrush, you see, as it seems best for them. But he, that's God, but God just doesn't do it, you know, for some reason like the Father may have had to have peace. No, God does it for our profit, for our benefit. That we, what? How great a profit are we talking about here? How great a benefit? That we may be partakers of his holiness. Of his holiness. We can be holy. We can be righteous. That's the point. You can live a holy, righteous life with God. Okay? And now, no chastening seems to be good. But afterwards, it yields what's called righteousness, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You want peace? Oh, if I could have peace, you obey the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's what comes from obedience, you see, and holiness. For those who have been trained by it, you see, you can go through a trial, you can go through chastening, you can go through tribulation, you can suffer, and if you come out the other end as dumb as when you went in, it doesn't help you, right? You got to be trained by it. You got to learn. You got to say, boy, I'm never going to do that again, right? That's what it says for those who are trained by it. So here you got holiness that's coming from suffering. You see that? And righteousness. In 1 Peter 1:15, remember we talked about be ye holy or be ye perfect as I am perfect? 1 Peter 1:15, be ye holy as I am holy. That's exactly what it says here. You go through some suffering, you go through some chastisement so that you can partake of his holiness. 2 Corinthians 1:9. It says, yes, we had the sentence of death, Paul says. Boy, we were beaten and they were going to come down on us and we were going to be stoned. Trouble was there. But why? Why do they have that suffering, that consternation? he says, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. That's why you suffer. One reason, to get that character trait of looking to God for your help and your protection, and not just looking to yourself. You look to yourself, too. When Paul was persecuted, he was let down over the wall. He took off. When the spies came in to Rahab, they hid. So you don't have to turn yourself over. You can use your wisdom, too. But God is the one that's going to deliver you. See, that just brings up, I want to say it quickly because it really sticks in my mind. I just saw the video Hacksaw Ridge. And it had to do with the story of a corpsman, and a true story. And here was this big, massive field out there. And it was loaded with wounded Americans and dead Japanese. And he was going out there, and he would deliver. I'm not going to kill the story for you, but it's a true story written up that he went out there, and he would rescue them and bring them to safety. But, you know, he was a Seventh-day Adventist, a conscientious objector that believed in God. And he kept saying, God, help me deliver one more. Help me to find one more. See, there's a perfect, and he did that 76 times. Ran out there, risked his life, came back, and he always said, God, let me deliver one more. See? Now, that to me is a perfect example of trusting in God. He didn't say, God, no thanks. Go take somebody else's problems. I can handle this myself. He didn't do that. He relied upon God in every action he took there. Now, that's a good example. If you want to see the video, I'll let you use mine. Romans 5:3. And not only that, but also glory in tribulations. See why? Knowing that tribulation produces what? Now, again, a perfect example. Perseverance. Perseverance. There's those words. Perseverance. Endurance. Faith. You see what I mean? Over and over, it's that same drumbeat. You see, because perseverance is needed. It's a trait that you need. Why? It tells you in Matthew 10:22. Endure to the end, and you'll be saved. Endure, right? 2 Timothy 2:12. If you endure, you will reign with him. If you don't endure, if you quit, see, you're not going to reign with him. That's what you signed up for, to be a soldier of Jesus Christ at baptism. They said, are you going to obey? Oh, yeah, I'm going to obey. That wasn't just rhetoric. That was really a commitment that God's going to hold you to. You see? If you endure, you'll reign with him. Romans 8:16-17. And the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. That's what I'm talking about. This is wills and testaments. See? If we're going to be children of God and heirs with Jesus Christ, if we indeed we suffer with him, and that we may also then be glorified with him. And the glory, it says when Jesus Christ returns, we're going to have the glory that he has, that God the Father bestowed upon him. These are the things you want to keep in mind, you want to meditate on and believe that there is an eternal life, that there is a glory, that there's a benefit in whatever happens to us as Christians, you see. Revelation 2, why does a Christian suffer? Revelation 2:10, do not fear, don't fear any of those things that are going to befall you. Indeed, the devil, Satan himself that entered Judas to have Jesus Christ killed, is about to throw some of you in prison. You see, Satan is behind this. This is Satan's world, and he is behind many of the tribulations and suffering that we undergo. Just like Job, he He can be there, you see, behind the thing. So the devil is going to throw you in prison. In prison. What if somebody's locked up over there? You say, oh boy, he must have did something wrong. No, maybe he's there for righteousness' sake. That's what it says. Visit those in prison. Not the criminal that killed 15 people and you just want to say, oh, I want to do good. I want to do good and visit. No, it's those like Paul. He says, thank those that came and helped me. He said, no one came except one man. See, one time. So it says, throw some of you in prison that you may be tested. Testing is the concept in my mind, in my personal opinion, okay? This is the reason for life, the test. If you weren't tested, you see, if it wasn't there, then God could just have you born and say, okay, to hell, okay, no, to you, to heaven, you know, to hell and heaven, the way the world looks at it. Okay, you may be tested and you will have tribulation, 10 days. Be faithful unto death. You talk about endurance. Endurance. Be faithful unto death. See, and I will give you a crown of life. Eternal life. But you got to be faithful unto death. Now that's easy to say, but it's going to be hard if it ever comes up to do. And don't ever think, oh, Helge says, oh, I'm going to do it. No, I don't know. I don't know what's ever going to happen if that comes up, you see. So, you see, and, you know, you got to see examples of this. And the one example, I don't want to go into too much detail, but these kids were over in Syria or in that area. Kids. They weren't even teenagers yet. And ISIS had them and said, take the oath to Allah, that he is the only true God, and that Muhammad is his faithful prophet, and reject Jesus Christ. And these kids didn't do it. I wish they could have. I shouldn't have gave the example. So they held out. So it appears if there's suffering, there is suffering in order to qualify us, to give us a trait, some traits and attributes that God requires in his kingdom, you see. So how should we approach the prophetic calling of God's suffering, affliction, persecution, and the like? How do we approach that? How do we accept it? How do we react to it? Proverbs 3:11-12 says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, and don't detest his correction, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Okay? Whom the Lord loves. So it comes from love. See? Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared. Not worthy. Remember Jesus said again, worthy? You balance them out? You balance out? You're going to follow Christ or not? Here, not worthy. You balance out what you can achieve in the world through rejecting Jesus Christ or suffering for him and God the Father. Not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed to us. It's up in heaven. It's up in heaven, but it's going to come down to earth when Jesus Christ comes down. See? 2 Timothy 2:3. You therefore, this is what follows. Okay? You must endure hardship. Endure the words I told you. Persevere, endure, hold on, have faith, don't quit. It's like a drum beat, it's like marching to the John Philip Sousa music. Rum, rum, boom, comes a big drum. Rum, rum, boom. You see, that's the drum beat that goes through the scriptures. You must endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Yes, when you got baptized, you may not realize it, but you enlisted. You signed up. You volunteered. And that's some of the things you have to endure as a good soldier. You can't turn back. No turning back. For 2 Timothy 2, 10 through 12. 2 Timothy 2, verses 10 through 12. Why Christians suffer. Therefore, Paul says, I endure all things. For if we die with him, it just doesn't mean a physical death. That's talking about Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. See, you are dead. You've gone down into baptism. That was the death of the old man. Coming up is the resurrection of the new man when you receive God's Holy Spirit and the laying on of hands. So if I die with him, we shall live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him, sitting on the thrones, reigning with God, judging evil, judging wrongdoing, judging angels. See? But if we deny him, he denies us. That's what goes on and on in the Old Testament. He says, you keep sinning, Israel. You turn your back on me. You turn your face away from me. I'm going to turn my back on you and turn my face away from you. I'm not going to hear your prayers. Not going to hear them until you repent. Then in Luke 9:62, see, that's what it says. You put your hand to the plow. You started the Christian life. You don't quit. There's no discharge. You can't be discharged. You can't turn it around. You've tasted the goodness of God's Spirit, it says. And once you do that, if you turn around, there's no reason for life anymore, you see. That's what he says. You cannot forfeit. Looking back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. They say, you know, I started this, but you know, I missed doing the lust of the flesh. I missed just running to the same excess of riot that I used to, drinking and running around, doing nothing but serving myself and the lust of my flesh. I don't want any more of this holiness. See? Not fit for the kingdom of God. You had a test and you failed it. You're not worthy. In Acts 5, the apostles were preaching. See, our approach, were preaching. They were performing miracles, but they were taken and they were thrown in prison. They were even going to kill them, but they were thrown in prison. So then they talked about it and they just beat them, lashed them, and then turned them loose. Acts 5:41. How do we react to punishment? How do we react to suffering, this persecution? And so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, for the name of Jesus Christ. That you got to meditate on. Rejoicing, happy, pleased that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. Then in 1 Peter 4, 12 and 14, it says, don't think it strange about the fiery trial when you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also participate in it. 1 Peter 4, 16, see, what should be our approach? If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed of it. You can stand tall because you know why you're being suffering, why you're being persecuted, see? Let them not be ashamed, but let them glorify God. There's one sermon I gave from the very beginning, the first thing I learned at the college, give the glory to God. And here that was for the good things you received and the things accomplished through you. But here it says, also, when you suffer, you turn and you glorify God because it's good for you in the long run, you see. 1 Peter 2:20, but when you do good and suffer for it, again, you see, you're doing good. You're not doing evil. You're doing the right thing and you suffer, okay? This is where you've got to read world news and see how people overseas are suffering, even in this country, how they're being persecuted by the left-wingers. Some of those who want to just obey Christ. If you do good and suffer for it, take it patiently. See, how do we handle it? Take it patiently. This is commendable before God. God says, boy, they're suffering, not complaining. You see, look at Paul when he was in prison, right? Did you, a lot of complaining. No, he said, I'm just a prisoner of the Lord here. You see, hey, I'm chained, but oh, the word of God has not changed. What did he worry about? He said, well, I'm cold here in this prison. Make sure you bring my jacket, will you please, my clothes? But also, above all, bring the parchments. Bring the Bible. See? Bring the word of God. See? So he suffered patiently, and it was commendable. See, in Romans 15:5, it's the attribute, patience. It says God of patience, an attribute of God he wants you to acquire. And maybe you can only acquire it through suffering. But he wants you to have that attribute when you get into the kingdom of God. First Peter 3:14, if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. First Peter 4:19, let those who suffer according to the will of God, get those words, according to the will of God, commit their souls to him. See, and that word commits, the same word that Jesus used when he said, Father, I commit to you my spirit, when he was on the cross. Commit your souls to him in doing good. You keep obeying. You don't reject God or Jesus Christ. You remain faithful, see, as a faithful creator. Matthew 5:11-12. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Now, these are odd things. These are the things, boy, I can't quite understand it, but we got to read the word and know when suffering and persecution comes. Blessed are you. There's a blessing. See, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Now, why? Why, God? Why should we do that? It's weird. He says, for great is your reward in heaven. Now, we make fun of that once in a while. We got to go out at night. We got to do this. We get called to do that. We don't want to do it. We want to do something else. You say, oh, hey, you got your reward in heaven. We throw that out. But you see, it's not just a joke. It's true. There's a reward in heaven that's being stored up. And it says it's not forgotten. Your labor of love is not forgotten. And it says when Jesus comes, that reward is with him. Think it all through. Think it all through. It'll help when the suffering and persecution comes. See, in Matthew 10:22, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. That time is coming. And it's growing the more the left wingers take hold, where they don't permit people to speak, where there's only one truth for them, abortions, open borders. You see what I mean? Punishment for the Christians. You don't open your mouth as a Christian. Only one way to live, that's their way. No standards. No standards at all. Truth is relevant. That's the only thing that they want, you see. So you're going to be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures, again, there's the word. Can we wake up? Can we understand that there's an endurance? He who endures to the end, not halfway, to the end, will be saved. You can't say, well, I'm just going to be saved. No, you got to endure. You got to hold on. See, that's what Churchill said. Remember his great speech? When Germany had swept all across Europe, was sweeping through Russia. And he said, we're not going to quit. He said, we're going to hold out. We're going to fight. We're going to fight at the beaches. We're going to fight on the shore. We're going to fight in the hills. He says, we're not going to quit. And when he gave a speech one time before West Point or Annapolis, whatever it was, he went up for the speech and he said, One thing, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't ever, ever quit. And he sat down. That's all he said. That was his lesson he wanted to bring home, you see. And that's what God is telling us, endure to the end. You see, so Christians have to suffer, is what the scripture tells us, in order that we can gain these attributes that God wants us to acquire or keep us on track and obeying him, you see. And it's part of God's master plan. So if you really want salvation, if you really want the resurrection, if you really want the glory of Christ, if you really want to have eternal life, you see, if you really want those things and to enter into the kingdom of God, see, then you must walk the walk. You cannot just talk the talk. Because in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And part of that will, as you see when you go through the scriptures, is to suffer and endure to the end. Genesis 12:22-12, that's when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. And at the very last minute, he had a couple of days he had to travel. All the time he's suffering, he's in consternation. He's supposed to sacrifice his son, the word from God. He goes up the hill, he's ready to do it, and God says, stop, stop, don't do it. But what's the lesson there? The lesson, he says, God speaking, for now I know. He didn't know before this time. For now I know. When you had the knife to his throat, just like a sheep, and you were going to slice and have the lifeblood pour out, he says, you didn't do it. He says, but now I know that you fear God. Another attribute that comes from suffering and obedience, a fear of God. And I know I gave a whole sermon on that one time. One of the attributes of God was fear. And he said, oh, we're supposed to love God. We're Christians. The Bible tells us that's the wicked that don't fear God. The wicked don't fear God. The Christian does. He fears to disobey God, you see. So, you see, that's why he requires us to endure to the end, so that he will know, and know that he knows, without any doubt, you've been tested all your life to obey. And he says, now I know that you're not going to rebel like Satan. I don't want to bring you into my kingdom and have you rebel and start all over again this mess of casting you down and so on. You see, I want to know that you're obedient right to the very end. You see that? So in conclusion, whatever suffering may come upon us, always remember Exodus 3:7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen, eyeballs, I have seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've seen it. And I have heard the ear. He heard their cry because of their taskmasters, right? He heard that. For I know their sorrows. He knows their sorrows, their pain, their suffering. You see that? In a scripture I never heard cited before, Isaiah 63:9. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted. Give it the impression that God can feel our pain, our sufferings. You see, he's with us. In Judges 10:16, they put away their foreign gods. They had disobeyed God. They were worshiping foreign gods, and God punished them. And he punished them for a long time, and he punished them with a heavy hand. But then he retrieved them, okay? It says, then they put away their gods from among them, and they served the Lord. And it says, and his soul, his, that's God the Father, his soul could no longer endure the misery of Israel. See, God feels. He knows what's going on. You see that? And then you get down to the real nitty-gritty of Christians today in Matthew 25, 40 through 45. That talks about, Jesus says, welcome into the kingdom, because when you gave me a drink of water, and when I was hungry, you fed me. And when I was in prison, you visited me. And the answer is, well, I never saw you, Jesus. When did I ever give you a drink of water? When did I ever give you a clothes because you were cold? When did I ever give you go to prison and see your face? And he says, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, the most unauthorized people, you might say, in the congregation, those that you, maybe you don't always think about, but when you did it to them, he says, you did it to me. That shows how intimate the relationship is between you and Jesus Christ, and how he takes note of what you do or what you don't do. And looking after each other is one of the responsibilities we have. So always have in mind these factors, regardless of what happens. God the Father and Jesus see. God the Father and Jesus hear. See? And God and Jesus Christ know what is going on when they see it, or they send an angel to find out. And above all, God the Father and Jesus care. They care for you. If you're under suffering, you go to God the Father and you pray and tell him the suffering you're going under, and they will hear and understand. And if you're enduring and you learn the traits you're supposed to learn, he'll be there to help you.